Looks like primary's recording.
Front up. You know, without Adrian here, I have to be the annoying one.
I mean, you don't have to be. Welcome to AC Presents. I'm Alex.
I'm Jared.
I'm Laura, the annoying one.
And we're back after a small hiatus. And in the meantime, Laura and I saw the new Madame Web movie.
Yep, that's a thing that happened.
It is. What's your official review of the movie?
I like to tell people that it's like you went to your Google search and you searched for Spider-Woman and you said, oh, there's like four Spider-Women. I didn't know this. So then you went into Wiki and you looked up like three little tidbits about each of these women. And then you're like, well, I don't like how these stories are going. So you put it in a blender and then you poured it out and you said, how else can I connect this together and just make it fun, not make any sense.
You look at the history and say, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then you do your own thing.
Yeah. I mean, it had some cute Easter eggs. I liked how much Spider-Man there was. There could have been more Spider-Man, obviously. But I think I can get away. This isn't too spoilery. Like the bad guy character, I felt like it was really awkward. I want to say this took place in like 2003-ish.
I believe it said 2003 during the opening sequence, yeah.
Yeah, and the timeline they gave was that this was like the year Spider-Man is born. I think that's okay to say. And so they're basically establishing all these spider characters before Spider-Man exists to be the impetus for these things. And I don't like that. Although I guess I didn't follow my own advice and actually Google any of these spider women to find out where they do fall in like the web of life and destiny. But
I mean, Madame Web did exist before Peter canonically. So like that makes sense. But yeah, the rest of the spider women, no.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah, and I don't think most of them interacted in the comics the way they did in this movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it definitely felt forced.
Yeah.
The teaming up abilities of them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, the overall outside, like, if you go in with very little knowledge of Madame Web or the rest of the Spider-Women, the movie's okay. Like,
There are only a few things that you're like, that doesn't make any sense. What sane person would do that?
Yeah, like they had a guy on the subway playing a PSP, which didn't come out until 2005. That took me out of the movie.
How dare they?
It took place in 2003, but they were playing in 2005. Come on now.
Maybe the guy worked for Sony and was just testing it.
He was beta. Testing the portability of it. I mean, I like that idea, but no.
I'm trying to salvage it.
I mean, it doesn't specifically, like, you can't tell for sure it's a PSP. Like, it doesn't have the silver
name on the back. It's a Sony movie, though.
But it's a Sony movie, and he's holding a portable device that's not a cell phone. Holding it sideways, looks awfully like the PSP, or at least a generic version of it, and it's 2 years before it came out. Now, they did do some cool things like, oh, this upcoming song is going to be a real hit or whatever, and it's Britney Spears. It's a brand new Britney Spears song, which I looked up like, yeah, that did come out in 2003. Okay, that makes sense then. That tracks.
They got one.
but yeah, I was like, come on. I get that you're trying to push your own product line because it's, you know, Sony, why not? But come on, guys. Nerds will know this and come on.
Yeah.
But other than that, the movie, for me, I liked it better than Morbius, which isn't saying a whole lot. And I liked it better than both Venom movies. So, it's...
That's decent praise for...
It's a 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's a movie. I did not feel like it was a waste of time to see it. But...
Yeah, it had its ups and downs. And I enjoyed the end climax. Like, I don't think I should say anything, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what happened.
Well, I'll skirt around it. Someone got peed on. We'll put it that way.
Yep. I just thought that was funny.
And it's hilarious. Especially when you said that, I was like, oh, that's pretty good. If you see the movie, you'll know what we're talking about. If you don't, then ask me later in the story and I'll tell you what it was.
Sorry,
or
I'm
see the
that,
movie yourself.
I'm that guy who talks through the movie, but I try to get in some one-line zingers that are worth it.
And there wasn't a whole lot of people in the theater. So. Yeah. It wasn't quite a private screening, but it was not super public.
I hate to be judgy, but I did not expect the people who were there to be the audience for that movie either. Yeah. So I was like, what do they think they're getting into?
Well, I wonder if the majority of them were like Real Unlimited. This is a new one. Might as well check out literally everything that comes out. So, kind of like our neighbors across the street. They're like, they'll see pretty much anything in theaters because they have Unlimited and they have the time. But anyway, our main subject for the podcast tonight, so that way Jared can participate.
Sorry, that just popped in my head. Resident Aliens back out.
Oh, is it?
I think so. I think it started last weekend or the week before, something like that. I know the new
season just dropped on Netflix, or the previous season dropped on Netflix.
Yeah, yep.
Which usually does mean the new one.
Yeah, I think it's on, I think it's still on Peacock, but they're airing it on Sci-Fi, and then it comes to Peacock like the weekend after or something next day.
Because Sci-Fi is a NBC Universal channel. I'm pulling it up. That is something to look forward to. Yep, new episodes Evil. Thursdays. Yep,
new episodes Thursdays, and it has season 3 one episode on there right now.
All right. So yeah, I have that to watch. First 3 episodes of Bad Batch just dropped today also.
Oh yeah.
The final season of Bad Batch.
I'm kind
of
waiting for Godzilla, what is it, minus one.
Minus one.
I'd like to see that one.
I don't know what that would stream on.
I have no idea.
Maybe Max?
Could be. Max has got the other Godzilla franchise.
But Minus One, that one's actually like made in Japan too.
Yeah,
like
they had the other Japanese versions. Right. So
maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Know. But yeah, Resident Alien just popped in my head.
Resident Alien and Bad Batch. So yeah, a whole bunch of new stuff to watch. The strike is over. The products are coming out now again. Yep. So there's more TV to watch.
You're not reading comics.
When you're not reading comics or watching comic book-based movies. Laura, what is our subject matter and why did you pick it?
I picked Captives because in the book we chose, Sandman Preludes and Nocturnes. Yes, I got it.
Yep.
By Neil Gaiman, the Sandman is captive for a good portion of the story and for like hundreds of years. So it's like, wow, how do you keep your sanity in a little bubble like that for like, I want to say 150 some years. It was a lifetime.
A couple generations.
A generation and a half, because it was generation the dad that caught him and it was his son.
Oh, then the son that
escaped.
Yep, from. You're right.
So a generation and a half, I'd say. So, yeah. But anyway, so captives.
Yep. I thought we'd have a captive audience.
Oh.
That was good.
Do the rim shot sound effect.
It's not on this channel, I don't think.
What? You need to work on your.
Because I think this one's the sad trombone. Yeah,
that works too.
Because I didn't have the rim shot saved, we got that instead.
There we go.
You need to fix this.
I mean, I need more buttons that will make more things. So that's more money, but that's
it's only money.
Anyway, Jared, why don't you go first? What is one of the first ones on your list of captives in comics?
Okay, you might see a theme with me today, but the Teen Titans.
Whoa.
So, during the Judas contract, where Terra is actually teamed with Deathstroke and is able to infiltrate the Titans and she betrays them, they're able to take each Titan down one by one, and Deathstroke delivers them all to Hive. And they're basically held on this giant machine that's going to steal their powers and give them to the leader of Hive. And that's basically the synopsis. Nightwing does escape, and he runs into Slade Wilson's ex-wife. Slade Wilson is Deathstroke, for those that don't know. So he runs into his ex-wife and his son, Jericho. They reveal the location of the Hive base, and Nightwing and Jericho are able to infiltrate them, free the Titans, and then there's a big battle and everything. But it's one of the staples of comics, the Teen Titans Judas contract. It's probably one of the most well-known Titan story arcs ever, and DC, really, in my opinion. But, they were all held captive for not a very long time or anything, not as long as the Sandman, but they were held captive for a decent amount, and each one, as powerful as they are, were taken down pretty easily. Mm. So, got to give it to Deathstroke. He knows what he's doing.
I'd say, and that's such an iconic story. What, 2 years ago, they did another Judas storyline with Teen Titans? Because that was Judas Contract was the first one,
yeah,
right?
I don't remember. There are some bad years for Titans writing.
I remember, it was the last couple of years, because I remember, I think we talked about it on the podcast even, it was the Judas, War or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So, it's still like, oh, harkening back to that big one. Right. Like, it's another
monumental. Yeah, but that was 1980. Oh, boy, I don't know what year that was. 86, 84?
Definitely old, because yeah. One of those is the year I was born.
It's definitely coming up on 40 years old, I bet. Mm-hmm. 35 at least.
Yes. I can confirm it is between those 2 years.
There we go.
That is where I am.
Yeah, Google's not helping me. Of course, I did Judas Contract, and like, oh, the sequel to Judas Contract. And they're like, oh, well, it's talking about the animated movies that they did.
Oh, gotcha. Because they did
the animated movie, the Judas Contract, also.
Yep, which, that was a decent interpretation. That was during the New 52 stuff, so all those characters and stuff were more New 52 based, so it didn't have a lot of the history of the Titans and everything. Let me check one thing. I think it was Nightwing's first appearance was during that story arc, so let me look that up and see what year that came out. Gives me Dick Grayson's, like, April of 1940 of his first Robin.
Oh, not Robin, Nightwing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
1984. There it is. So before I was born, just a hair.
I did not realize that I'm older than you.
Not by much.
Okay.
I'm the youngest. It
only takes so much to feel old.
Like the weather changing, where it's like, oh, now it's 50, now it's 20,
and why does everything hurt?
Why does everything hurt? Oh, because the weather. Or, oh, it's going to rain today. How can you tell? I can just tell.
My bones feel it.
Yeah. I always made fun of my brothers, my parents, growing up, like, oh, yeah, you can feel the rain, blah, blah, blah. Then I actually had a surgery with my hernia. I'm like, oh, now I get it. Because they both,
you get it.
Both my brothers had knee surgery. My dad had all sorts of surgeries and stuff. So it's like, yeah, up there, I understand it now. This sucks.
Now you understand the rains from Africa.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, Titans, they all got captured except for the, you know, the one without powers. And he saved them all.
All right. Laura, what is the first one on your list?
I think I'll go with Spider-Girl. There's some irony and a little bit of parallel to it. Like you mentioned, the character didn't have powers. In issue number 27, Endgame, you know, I didn't write down the year, but I would think it was probably around 2000-ish.
I'll Google it.
I guess I should get on my Marvel Unlimited app. But a few issues prior to this, and one of the... like annuals, it was the issue 25 where she battles the Savage Six. She gets in a little bit of a tiff with Killer Watt, and he zaps her. She loses her powers. And that gives Normie Osborn the chance to snatch her up real easy and kidnap her. And it turns out what Normie's after, really, is death by spider. Like, he's kind of trying to commit suicide, and so he's just egging her on. Like, you need to break free, and we're going to end this spider war, because it's down to you and me, we're the end of our generations, and he's just egging her on, and he's got her all tied up. And I like the way they went back and forth in this story, like, timeline-wise. Sorry, I'm saying terrible words. But anyway, so, they also developed a lot of the other characters, like her friend Moose, Courtney, Jimmy Yama, JJ, J. Jonah Jameson's grandson. Like, all these characters are being built up too in the side panels. Yeah, and this just always stands out to me, because I've always loved the Spider-Goblin War. And in the end, Spider-Girl, because she doesn't have her powers and she can't break free and just stop Normie, even though he's, like, begging her to do it, she just talks it out and convinces him to get help. And it starts a whole story arc where I think he goes to Ravencroft, because that's pretty standard of the place for insane people to go in the Marvel Universe. And I want to say he even meets Raven there, and they, like, become a little bit of an item. And there's some irony that, like, May even gets a little jealous, and I'm like, I don't think your dad would like if you started dating an Osborn. That's toeing a line there. And I think that Normie is significantly older than her. And think of, like, the current issues of Spider-Man, like, Normie exists. So he's at least 10, 12 years older than her if she were to show up in continuity now. So, but yeah, so the captive in Spider-Girl number 27 was Spider-Girl herself, but she broke free.
Like she does.
Yep.
2008. Sorry.
Wow.
That's what it says.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know the original one lasted that long, or that late, or recent, or however you look at it.
Unless,
yeah, because I...
This is issue 26. This is the same series, right?
Possibly not, because that is the Amazing Spider-Girl.
Oh, I'm on the wrong Spider-Girl.
Okay.
It's probably before this, then.
You Googled Spider-Women, and you came up with three of them.
I just chose 33.3% chance and failed.
You did the Sony method of just Google it.
just throw it in there. Hey, this works.
Yeah.
Sorry to, like, immediately know, but I just remember.
That's why I showed you the picture. Yeah. So I'm like, you'll know right away if I'm on the right track.
I specifically read this in high school, and I was no longer in high school in 2008. So I knew that math didn't work out. And I remember how upset I was. At some point, they said Spider-Girl was 15. I think at that point, I was like 17 or something. And I was like, what? How does she have all this freedom and does all this stuff? And she's 2 years younger than me. I was so upset.
New York City. That's why.
I would think that would make it worse. I would think that she should be more tied down then. Except for the superpowers thing. But
Peter's not the most...
reliable?
I mean...
He's always late to everything.
He's not the most responsible.
What, in the latest Captain America, he screwed up Captain America's date in, what, issue 2 or something? Yeah. Couldn't even make it to 3 issues, already screwing his dates up.
Yeah, I mean...
That was a great issue.
It was.
Yeah, I missed that one. I'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, that was a fun one, yeah.
We're subscribed to the Captain America series.
Okay. And then Captain America showed up.
And then Captain America, it's his book. He better show up.
So who's on your list, Alex?
First one on my list is Batman. Specifically in Batman the White Knight.
Mm.
That's one of my favorite go-to, like, people want to dive into comic books, like, oh, I don't know where to start. I'm like, okay, do you want a miniseries, ongoing? Usually they will start with miniseries. Okay, you know who Batman is? Yeah. You know who Joker is? Yeah. Okay. Joker goes sane. Batman gets turned, the public gets turned against him, he's thrown in jail. So, Joker's a good guy, Batman's a bad guy. And what does a formerly crazy guy do once he goes sane? He runs in politics. So... Joker becomes a politician, becomes the mayor of Gotham, and yeah, they capture Batman, they throw him in jail, but they do not reveal his identity. They keep that hidden to everybody, to the public, everything, even though, like, I'm pretty sure he self-reveals to the world, like, yeah, this is who I am, I'm Bruce, blah, 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 blah.
Is this that Batwing again?
No.
Okay.
That was a different
Just
one.
Checking the that reveals.
Was Batman damned?
Yes.
You think?
Yes. That was. But yeah. The White Knight. And that set off the whole White Knight universe. So it was Batman the White Knight. Then there's Presents. Or yeah, the White Knight Presents.
Harley Quinn is one of them.
Harley Quinn is the third one.
Red Hood?
Is the fourth one.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's the White Knight and the White Knight Presents. Or no, what's the second one? Because there's the one that's against Azrael, Curse of the White Knight.
Yeah.
So that's Batman and the White Knight, Curse of the White Knight, White Knight Presents, Harley, and then presents Red Hood, and then the most recent one is Beyond the White Knight, with Batman Beyond.
Yeah, yep.
So that's 5 series?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's pretty well self-contained. And
yeah, I mean, it's, realistically...
Scott Snyder, isn't it?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No, that's not right.
Murphy.
Yeah.
Sean Murphy.
Who writes and draws it. At least the first two of them. A lot of them, because it's part of the Murphyverse.
That's
right. And the most recent ones is, he presents it. So like the way I picture it is he's doing the storyboard. Like, oh, this happened. Then there's an actual writer and artist that actually makes the story without him. So like, he's the big idea guy and they just make it work then.
Gotcha.
He approved this message.
They make it so. But yeah, so the first, I never recommend the first two the most. Those are the best ones. And then, actually, the first two and Harley Quinn. I think
Harley was pretty good.
I think that might have been the last one that Murphy was doing also. Before
the Red Hood was meh.
It was okay. At least
it was okay.
That was two issues, though, so it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad or anything, but it was just like, I could have done without it. It'd been fine. You know, it was.
the white, the Beyond, that's when it started to lose me a little bit. Like, eh.
Yeah.
But Sean Murphy's done other things I may talk about later on today for the books that came out recently, even.
If you feel like it.
If we have time for it, we'll see. But yeah, so yeah, Batman Get Thrown in Jail and the White Knight series, and it was a really good series. Jared, what is next on your list?
I'm going to go with Stephanie Brown, who was the spoiler, and she became Robin for just a little
bit. Spoiler alert, what is she?
The spoiler. So,
giving away secret identities, come on, man.
I know, just a horrible thing. So, Tim Drake stopped being Robin for just a little bit to live a normal life with his dad. And during that time, Batman offered to train Stephanie, and she became the new Robin. She did not last long. She kind of screwed up, and Batman fired her.
Like
but,
you do.
Yeah. But before she left, she actually stole plans of Batman's that would basically take away crime and stuff like that in Gotham. Like a doomsday plan type of deal. So she started to enact it without knowing what it was. It was basically she's going to start a gang war with all of the different factions and everything like that. But during all that, she's captured by Black Mask, and she is tortured, and they've retconned it since, but the Black Mask killed her. They implied that he was using a drill to torture her and, you know, just merciless with it.
Dark.
But and then later on, I found out Black Mask, one of his action figures, came with a drill.
That's pretty great.
Like someone's having fun with the toy, or the you know, whoever's making the toy.
If you know, you know, sort of thing.
Yep. But so yeah, they Black Mask, who he was trying to torture her to get information about who Batman is and everything like that. So Batman was able to find her and got her to Leslie Tompkins' clinic, who is a well-known Batman doctor throughout a long time. I don't know how long she's been around.
Yeah, even I know that one.
But she died in the hospital bed there. But it was later retconned that Leslie Tompkins, she, like...
tripped over the plug.
Yeah, pulled the plug right there. kind of made it, faked her death, gave her some... medicine that looked like it stopped her heart, and then you know stuff like that.
They Supermaned her. Oh, yeah. She wasn't dead.
Exactly.
She just needed a little sun.
But yeah, Leslie Tompkins has been around since 1976, though. So
hasn't aged a day.
Yeah. Thank God for comics, huh? Boy, well, Batman and Robin and all them guys—they'd be in their 80s, right?
I mean,
1940s.
So yeah. That'd be 80s.
Yeah.
And then, well, that's not even factoring how old they were in time.
Like, in universe, let's say 22 years old for Batman at his debut. If he started as a young man, then he'd be 102 years old, roughly.
Right.
So.
No big.
Yeah.
Batman can handle it.
It's fine.
He's still swinging from rooftops.
Just with a cane. And
yeah. He's got his walker swinging with him.
The bat walker.
That makes me think of Daredevil. Didn't he have, like, his cane for seeing with? And I swear he used it for swinging sometimes, too.
Sometimes, yeah, he can break it down into have, like, the two sticks. That Nightwing uses also, what are they called?
Eskrima sticks? Yeah. Or I don't know how to pronounce it. I just ever see it written.
Where, they have the built-in grapple hook within those also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Laura, what is next on your list?
The next one I thought about was in the issues of Amazing Spider-Man around 797 through 799. The arc was called Go Down Swinging. There was this one particular issue where Norman Osborn has kidnapped someone and is trying to use them to suss out Spider-Man's secret identity. And he spends the whole issue dropping hints. So you don't know who he's kidnapped till the very end. And I thought that was a really cool reveal because the whole time you're like, oh, it's got to be Mary Jane. Oh, it's got to be anybody. And like the whole time he's like listing off, oh, he knew Max Modell at Horizon. He did this. He did that. And he's got, you know, the crazy person mural on the wall with all the news clippings and the strings that describe his madness and all that. The web.
Picture the Charlie Day meme.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. It's right
here. Sounds like a Riddler story, mm-hmm. you know?
Nah, this is Marvel all the way.
Yeah, I know. It just sounds like something Riddler would do.
Yeah, and another part of this, too, at this time, Norman is trying to become the Green Goblin again, because somehow, I missed that arc, too, Spider-Man was able to give him some sort of antidote to solve his crazy, but it kept him from having the strength of the Green Goblin, too. So, he ends up getting the crazy back, because, like, I think Norman's just unsettled, no matter what. Wasn't all the Goblin serum.
In comics, they're bound to go back to the status quo.
Yeah. But one thing that he did to try to become the Green Goblin again is he actually merges himself with the Carnage symbiote, too. And so the next issue, 798, is actually the first appearance of the Red Goblin. And so Spider-Man can't use his spider sense anymore against him, and Anti-Venom's there trying to help. They're tracking down the Goblin King also in this arc, and I forget, did I already say who he kidnapped?
No, not yet, okay. Because I'm like, I was about to ask, I'm like, so who was it?
Yep, sorry.
Captain America.
I was trying to, like, hold on to it so long that I did a good job. But yeah, at the end, the reveal is that he kidnapped J. Jonah Jameson, and Jonah, of course, accidentally reveals who Spider-Man is, because that was another arc a little before this where,
like, Peter came out.
Yeah, they were having that podcast, the Threats and Menaces podcast, and after they got into, like, a really big argument, and, like, the climax of it was Peter finally gave up and was like, all right, Jonah, this is who I am. And Jonah's like, what the crap? It was like the movies. What the F?
Yeah. Well, at that point, like, the reason why Peter was doing it is because Aunt May started dating Jonah's dad also, I believe. It was around that time frame. So that's why they're like, okay, we're starting to be more friendly. Like, Peter's like, we have to be more friendly. We're going to be in-laws, sort of.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that was so weird.
So, yeah.
I'm trying to think of
the I love that issue when he ripped off the mask and like, oh, wait, it was you the whole time?
How is that possible? Yeah, and the reveal that Jonah did was, He said something to Norman like, you threw his girlfriend off a bridge. Of course he's going to be upset by that. And then Norman kind of stops. He's like, the bridge? Wait a minute. And that's when he clicks. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the next issue, there's a video call and Jonah's telling Peter. He's like, I'm so sorry. I told him who you are. And Peter just like hangs up on him.
All this time protecting that identity. Gone.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if this has to do with that time period after Spider Island. Wait, no, it was before Spider Island when he did the spell from Doctor Strange to make everyone forget, then he revealed it.
Spider Island is when it weakened the spell, because before Spider Island, like, no one could ever figure out who he was. Then after Spider Island, like, oh, I'm Spider-Man. We're all Spider-Man. Like, you're like, I'm Spartacus. Yep. I'm Spartacus. That's when Doctor Strange is like, okay, the spell you still works-ish. Because the spell was before, no one could figure out who it was. Now, no one knows who it is, but they can still actually figure out who you are. Now, like, so before Brand New Day, Civil War, all that stuff, so back to people could potentially figure it out. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. That's all I got.
The next one on my list, I'm actually going to do my last two back-to-back because they're kind of tied together. Because
they're
one,
captive.
They're captain captives of sorts. I'm going to do mine back to back real quick because they're tied together. They're captive captains, as if that's a hint of who they are. The first one is Bucky being held captive from the Soviet Union when he became Winter Soldier. That was 2005, 2006 when they did the Winter Soldier.
Pretty close to that.
Storyline. So it was like mid and, I think it was middle of the Civil War storyline, the Captain America Civil War stuff, when they brought back Bucky and revealed, like, oh, he wasn't dead. He didn't die from the rocket exploding. He was alive, but he was somewhat frozen in time, but thought out for missions, and he's brainwashed by the Soviets, and he's no longer Bucky. He is the Winter Soldier that they reveal, like, oh, he's the assassin for all the major events. Like, oh, he's the guy that killed Kennedy. He's the guy on the grassy knoll. And a whole bunch of other, like, only special occasions. In case of emergency, pull out Bucky, thaw him out, have him murder someone, then put him back in the freezer. So he aged up a little bit. So he's not the young kid that he was in World War II, but he's also... They not give, super like, old. They, yeah, he's not super old, but he has a modified super soldier serum. Not the exact same as Steve, but it's close. It's the Russian version. So take that for what it is. And then my next one right after that was Steve Rogers himself. When he's captured at the end of Civil War, he turned himself in because he's like, oh, we're fighting on the wrong side. We should, you know, obey the will of the people. They want us to be registered, blah, blah, blah. We should. He turns himself in. And of course, then it ends with him getting shot on the Capitol steps when he's getting ready to go to court and everything. So that's why I was like, oh, I want to do both these together because they brought back Bucky. And then like a month later, they killed Steve. I was like, ooh, they just brought him back and they'd immediately kill him.
Put him in a different kind of captivity.
Yeah.
The long-term one.
Which, even then, when they killed him, they retconned it, so he didn't actually die.
It was a magic loogie.
Sort of, yeah. I mean...
That's about the best for it.
Yeah, I mean, he got sent to a negative zone of sorts where his body appeared dead on the main Earth, but his consciousness... It was dumb. They should have fixed it a different way of making him undead, but whatever. But yeah, they were both held captives, and then Bucky broke the brainwashing, broke free eventually. Well, I guess Steve broke the brainwashing with the Cosmic Cube. I think that's how it was at the end of the Winter Soldier storyline. Captain America, Winter Soldier. Yeah, because it was Captain America, Winter Soldier, then that led right into the death of Captain America.
Yeah.
So
Winter Soldier, then Civil War, and then the death.
Well, I think Winter Soldier was going on during Civil War. Like,
it was. Oh, that could be.
It may not have been in universe, but I think in our time, like, it was coming, like,
okay.
Right along, then, like, immediately after, okay, now. Okay.
Now he's knows dead.
It might have been the event, the main event, Civil War, might have happened in between.
So, Bucky.
But I remember the reading order is Winter Soldier and then Civil War.
Captain America 6 of that series. Let's see. Death of Captain America was issue number. That's collected.
But it was shortly after, like, they just. Because he just gave Bucky all of Bucky's memories back. And so Bucky went in hiding. He's like, I need to absorb and process my last 60 years of memories of what's real and what's not. And how can I even face myself for the atrocities that I've done, sort of thing. Because Bucky didn't come out to the public until after Steve was dead. Because I remember that, like, oh, he was on the run still, like, oh, well, someone needs to be Captain America. I guess here I am. Which I still think that's my favorite Captain America is Bucky. Just because that shield that he had, the costume was modernized. Yeah. He had the shield in one hand and his pistol in the other.
So Cap died in issue 25. Bucky debuted in issue 6. So there was that main story arc, which lasted quite a while.
About a year.
So there's 12-ish issues, so we're up to mid-20s by then. So, yeah, Civil War was probably happening close to the same time.
Because that had been during Civil War time, from when he appeared and when he died. Like, because he died at the end of Civil War and he turned himself in.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, both of those, I think those were just iconic Captain America stories also.
Oh, agreed.
Was those two. Do either of you have any more left?
I've got one. I can buzz through it pretty quickly.
Sure.
It's when Jim Gordon was held captive by the Joker after he shot Barbara and paralyzed her. Joker is trying to say all it takes for you to crack is one bad day. So his shot Barbara and had naked pictures of her and this and that. And
heavily alluded that he raped her.
Yep. And put all these pictures up on a carnival ride, put Jim Gordon on a roller coaster going through all this. Mm-hmm. And, trying to torture him because...
At that point, Gordon was stripped naked also.
Yeah. Too. Yep. And Batman was about to kill him. And, Gordon's like, no, you got to prove him wrong,
It takes more than just one bad day.
Yep.
Maybe two bad days.
But I was that when you said captives, that was the first thing that came to my mind was Jim Gordon being held captive and putting through all of that, seeing his kid like that. That's gotta be hard. Cool.
The other thing that came to my mind when you said captive is like, oh, the actual jails that they would use. So
yeah, Arkham Asylum, that too. Yeah.
The Raft,
the Phantom Zone.
Yep.
Negative Zone.
Maybe? And the Negative Zone also, yeah.
Negative Zone. I can't think of it, but there's like a wall at the edge of the universe in DC Comics. I think Superman shoved a couple people in there and they're like held there forever type thing. I can't think of what that's called.
They're just another brick in the wall.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, should I admit? I was like, yeah, I'll leave them off the list of the actual prison facility, like the actual facilities of holding people.
I mean, how many times has
superheroes
gone to jail for something or another in different issues? Look at Punisher. How many times has he been in jail? So,
but for me, like the most famous one is Arkham Asylum. Like, it's technically not a jail, but they're definitely holding people against their will because they're crazy and terrorists to society. Yeah. So let's move on to books that came out the last weeks since our last episode. Some of our favorite books. I will go first with Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver number one. This is a sequel, spinoff of the previous Scarlet Witch series that lasted 12 issues, I think. It's the same creative team as far as I can tell. I know it's the same writer. But previously, Wanda, she made a library that they introduced Darcy into the comics. That was it's in the 616. That was the assistant to Jane Foster in the first Thor. It has since become her own independent.
And she keeps showing up.
Character, yeah.
She was in the Scarlet Witch TV show.
WandaVision.
Yep, WandaVision.
Yep. So yeah, they introduced Darcy in the comics with that. But yeah, this, like I said, it's the sequel series to that. I enjoy the first one, and this is a good jumping on point because it does the standard Marvel recap like previously and blah, blah, blah at the very beginning. And yeah, it's just, it's a fun story, and they added Quicksilver because Wanda might as well add Quicksilver. And they're starting with a last will and testament of Magneto. So something's going on with him and them. There's a letter and drama is ensuing. So yeah, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver number one. Jared, what is the first one on your list?
The first one on my list is the final issue to Titans Beast Wars, which came out January 26th. So that was first week we were off of the podcast, something like that. So it's been a little bit, but this was the final confrontation between Amanda Waller, the military, everything like that. They did a really good job wrapping this up and tying into a new story arc. Since it's been out for so long, I'll give a few spoilers. Basically, in the previous issues, Cyborg had hacked the military and shut down all their air support and everything like this. And the Titans were like, hey, heroes, we can save everybody. Don't just shoot them. We'll save them. So they were able to do that. And it turns out part of the main villain, which the name is eluding me.
Dr. Hate.
Yeah.
Dr. Hate.
Thank you.
Because it's not Dr. Fate, who's the good guy.
Right. It's the Helmet of Hate and stuff like that. But the bearer, they've been kind of keeping a secret for a little bit, is actually Raven's evil part that she's kind of kept
inside. The dark side of her force. Yeah.
There you go. So she's able to they were able to get the helmet off of her and destroy the helmet in a flash-tastic way. So the Flash shows up, steals the helmet, runs it into a volcano. That's it. So
when you can, it's like, oh, well, but how do you stop someone that can cast at the speed of thought? Someone that moves faster than the speed of thought.
Yep. So Raven is there to battle her evil self one-on-one while the other heroes are saving the Earth and stopping Waller and stuff like this. So there's...
And curing the Beast Boy, Starro.
So they realize Beast Boy is still kind of in there because he's been declared, like, brain dead. Because
they call him... Because he's Garo.
Yeah, Garo in this. And they were able to bring him back from all of the pieces that were Garo.
In a very fantastical way.
Yeah. So Amanda Waller has turned the Hall of Justice into the Hall of Order. And there we've got Titan's Tower. So there's going to be a confrontation leading up between them. And at the end, we learn that Raven did not beat her evil self.
It is evil Raven,
and she's trapped good Raven in the gem that sits on her forehead.
Which, for me, when I was reading, I was like, there's no way that's the good.
Yeah.
Because they do, they get ready to set this big fight, then they cut away, then come back to, oh, the fight's done.
Yeah. It was okay, very, well, very comic booky. It's like, but well, it was done very well.
Why'd you not show us the fight? Are you hiding something? Right. And yes, they were.
Yep, they were. And the big reveal was good. It was, I kind of saw it coming, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah. You know, so I was very happy with that. I can't wait to see where they're going to go with this. Tom Taylor's knocking the Titan stuff out of the park.
Yeah.
So this was very good. And can I just go to my next choice, which was,
I mean,
it ties in.
That's the only, okay.
I was going to say, it just ties in. It's Titans number 8, which is titled Public Enemies. So the public is basically kind of against the Titans right now because one of theirs infected the entire world with animals and stuff like they're turning people into animals and everything like this. So they're kind of dealing with the fallout of this, but there's a hurricane that they have to go help with. Evil Raven is here, but she's in disguise. She's incognito. And Garg gets hit with a baseball bat from someone that's just scared of him. So they do a really good job. This is really well written to show the propaganda that the news and media are saying against Beast Boy.
And Titans in general.
And just Titans, that they're not willing to accept help during a hurricane. And this was a solid issue follow-up from Titans Beast Wars.
It shows the consequences of everything, which yep. I'm glad. A lot of books, they just do the big event and then no one acknowledges it. Like, oh, well. Right.
It's like, oh, moving on.
Yeah.
It's like when DC did 1 year later. I loved 1 year later, don't get me wrong, but it's like, nah, there's not much follow-up from Infinite Crisis,
yeah.
You know, so, but, Titans, Beast Wars, going into Titans, I thought was phenomenal. I loved Beast Wars. I thought it was really done really well.
Yeah. Laura, what is on your list?
I debated talking about Ultimate Spider-Man number 2, but do you want dibs on that one?
You can talk about it. That's okay. Fine.
Although I guess I also don't really have a lot to say, so you can jump in anytime.
I can help you out.
But I really got a kick out of the Shocker in that world. Spider-Man's out, like, learning the ropes with his new powers, just kind of hanging out.
So to recap real quick, briefly, first issue, Ultimate Spider-Man, Peter wasn't Spider-Man. Like, he was married to Mary Jane, they have 2 kids, Uncle Ben's still alive, Aunt May's dead. And at the very end of issue 1, Peter decides, yes, I want this what-if life of if I was had these powers. So he chooses to get bit by the spider and get the powers. Sorry.
Okay. So because he made this choice, now he's like, well, now what do I do with powers? Like, what are my powers? Like, he's out testing things out, and he happens across... he's actually not named at first. Like, many characters aren't named, but you kind of imply who they are at first.
If you've read Spider-Man before, you know.
Yep. And he comes across this guy who's thinking about breaking into a bank. And Spider-Man's like, you know you don't really want to do this, man. Like, come on. And the Shocker's like, yeah, I guess you've convinced me. Like, put her there, pal. And, like, offers him his hand. And then shocks him across the building. And, like, he actually lands in a dumpster and everything, too. And I shouldn't spoil that part, that's but it is funny. That's the
Parker luck.
Like, yep, the Parker luck.
But I love it. Like, Peter's like, sure, anytime, mister. Then the next page, just call me Shocker. And that's when he blasts him away.
Yep. And then there's a parallel to that again. And then he gets blasted again. And Spider-Man's like, 0-2. Like, I can't win with this guy. Typical Parker look. And another highlight of this issue, a character who we would assume is the Green Goblin is making attempts on the life of Wilson Fisk, who's the owner of the Daily Bugle. And part of what's happening at the Daily Bugle is Fisk is starting to, like, hype up Spider-Man, even though I don't think he ever calls him that. But he's trying to distract people from the fact that he's got a super stalker. So we're all wondering, like, what is Fisk hiding with this other goblin-esque character? And there's still J. Jonah Jameson and Ben Parker are going to start their own kind of newspaper. Not the Daily Bugle. Not Threats and Menaces. But who knows?
Something.
But they're... they're trying to connect the dots too, and they're like, we need to find out who this goblin guy is. Like, who's making these threats on Fisk's life and why?
So. And I like how they're even, boy, how did, like, those are some great photographs that Peter Parker got of, like, well, why didn't he come to us? Then Ben's like, well, because we don't have a real business. Like, mm-hmm.
Yep.
And Jen's like, oh, yeah. One thing that's cool, too, is I like Peter's suit. It's a brand new suit of sorts. It's just plain black with the eyes revealed. Like, even though the cover has the classic, you know, red costume and everything on it. And the book itself is just all black with just the white eyes. And that's terrifying to me. Like, oh, it's intimidating everything.
He is the knight.
And it looks like it's a symbiote, the way it's, like, reacting.
Oh, I thought it was, like, nanobots or something.
It could be nanobots.
I think he called it something in particular, like a peak suit or something, like in the first page. Maybe? Where it describes, like, no, you do. Oh, like, in the part you never read. It says, like, Iron Man gave him the something suit.
From the council, Tony Stark sent Peter,
a spider and drum roll.
Pico tech suit. Okay.
See? Pikachu suit.
Yeah.
He's Pikachu.
So it's, but it's like the symbiote where he can control it by thought and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not just like take off the mask and everything.
And that gets him in trouble.
Yeah. And it scares his daughter.
I was trying not to reveal that part. I mean, jeez.
Eh.
This only came out yesterday.
Ultimate Spider-Man number 2. It was my pick of the week when the first issue came out, and looks like it's your pick again when issue 2 came out.
Mm-hmm. We all need to read.
I'll take issue 3.
And what are you going to do? You're going to subscribe to it, because after issue 2, chances are it's not going to be great. Not a huge likelihood of books being on the wall anymore, so... Hints to everybody that's listening, and those of you that are not listening, I'm still gonna be mad. But anyway.
Get your comic hub out.
Yeah. My other pick of the week is going to be Zorro, Man of the Dead, issue number 2, by Sean Murphy. I kind of teased this earlier with the White Knight stuff. So the reason why Sean Murphy stopped doing the White Knight stuff is he then did Plot Holes, which now spins out of Plot Holes also.
Oh. I didn't realize that.
You had issue 1 on your list, or on your pick last time, didn't you?
I believe Adrian and I both did, yes.
Yeah.
This is only a 4-issue miniseries. It's a modern-day Zorro, but the guy that is Zorro, I believe his name is Diego...
Antonio Banderas.
No, it is Diego. And on the cover, it's him and a girl behind him. That's his sister. She works for the cartel. And she's trying to get out of it, and they need to save the village, and he full-on thinks he's Zorro. Like, not just, oh, I'm going to be a new Zorro. Like, no, he thinks he's still the Zorro from the tales of old and everything. He has a fun little fox that goes on the adventure with him.
A fun fox.
It's a really good story. I really enjoy it. It's only 4 issues. So we're halfway done with this. We have issues 1 and 2 on the shelves. And if you like the White Knight stuff by Sean Murphy, definitely check out this as well. So yeah, that's Zorro, the Man of the Dead, issue number 2 out of 4. Jared, what is your other?
So my other pick is Nightwing number 111. So we start out with in Gotham City, not Bloodhaven, and somebody is murdered.
Someone gets murdered in comics?
Yeah. In Gotham.
In Gotham?
Yeah, not alone comics, but Gotham. So it looks like Heartless.
Heartless, yep.
Yeah, Heartless, sorry. Oh, names are escaping me tonight. But Heartless, it looks like he's come to Gotham, so Batman calls in Nightwing to help. And this has been a really good issue with flashbacks and everything like that, because as Batman comes to the crime scene of the murdered person, there's a little boy. So he sees himself and Dick Grayson after his parents and Dick's parents were killed and everything. And so Batman brings Nightwing with him to talk to the kid because Batman just scared him. So he sends in Nightwing and they were able to get a little bit of information out of him. There's a bit of a plot twist. So I'll kind of no spoilers on that. But again, Tom Taylor's
still. I like that at this point, Nightwing is the Superman of Bloodhaven. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
He's very public facing. He's like, oh, we have the Titan's Tower, you know, blah, blah, right. blah.
Yep. So there's some really good stuff in here. It ends on a cliffhanger that I didn't see coming, and I can't wait till the next issue comes out.
And there's a backup that's only a two-parter, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It's a 14th century Normandy. It's looks like the...
The Son of the Grey.
Yeah, the Son of the Grey and a Joker-esque character. So, yeah.
Who calls him the first Grayson, basically.
Yeah. So... I skimmed through the backup.
The backup wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's only a two-parter backup.
Right. So and I kind of like the backups every now and then. They can be fun.
Yeah.
You know, so.
This one, the backup, the art, it lost me on the art.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, too gritty-ish. I'm not a fan.
Yep. So, but yeah, Nightwing 111. It's been Tom Taylor. It's been almost every time Nightwing comes out, it's been my pick. Yeah. It's been so good.
Lord, do you have any other picks for this week?
I'm willing to talk about Cemetery Kids Don't Die real quick.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting. It's by Zach Thompson, Daniel Irizarry, and Brittany Peer. It kind of sounds like in this world, these kids, they have a video game called the Dream Wave, and essentially, instead of sleeping, they can play video games, like, all night. And when they really want to get into it, like, they spend the whole weekend at each other's house, like, sleep, they have a sleepover to play video games. And it's actually getting a little too real, though. And one of the kids, he's able to stay in the game longer than anyone else. Usually, once you wake up, you're reset, and it observes your circadian rhythm, and it won't let you go back into the game immediately. But this one kid, like, he just keeps, like, waking up and immediately falling back asleep and going back into the game and playing too much. And the other kids are like, he's getting ahead of us. Like, he's going on in the storyline without us, and we don't like it. But then there's a twist. So you have to go get it and read it. And it also reminded me how I'm not the nerd I think I am. Like, they kept talking about tanking and aggro and all the stuff that you're supposed to know about when you play, like, MMORPG games, and I don't really know what they're talking about, but it sounds cool. So yeah, if you like MMORPGs, then you should read Cemetery Kids Don't Die.
All right. So with that, let's move on to our book club book of the week, which is Sandman, Preludes and Nocturnes. But if you don't want spoilers on this, it's been out for 30 years, folks. This is the 30th anniversary edition that we have. Also, Jared, what are we reading for 2 weeks?
Fantastic Four, The Life Story.
So we talked about, in the past we've done the Spider-Man Life Story, I believe, as one of our subjects. So let's do the Fantastic Four one, because they announced last week as we're recording this.
2 weeks?
I think it was last week, actually.
Was it last week?
They announced the cast of the upcoming Fantastic Four movie of the MCU.
Yep, Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so there you go. So, literally 1 week ago today, as we're recording. Pedro Pascal is going to be Mr. Fantastic, and there's other people as the rest of the characters. That's the big one that I remember.
I can't think of the actor's name, but he was the guitar player in Stranger Things.
I
think. Unless I'm thinking of something else.
I know nothing.
I don't know. Say maybe Joseph Quinn. I think he's the Human Torch.
Yeah, I think that's who then
it is. Ebon Moss Bacharach? I don't know. 100%. I know him from The Bear, the TV show on Hulu.
So yeah, he was the dude in Stranger Things.
Okay.
Eddie.
Then Vanessa Kirby as the Invisible Woman.
Yeah, I think it's a good solid cast.
The only thing is, I talked about this with Mark, they're a lot older than what I would expect, so... Are they going to have the whole family then starting out then, or what?
I hope so.
Are they just going to recast quickly then because they're old? I don't know.
Hard to say.
Anyway, but that's... We'll talk about that more in 2 weeks. Sandman, 30th anniversary. Laura, you made us read this book.
Sorry. I had tried to read this a number of times, I think at least 3. And I'd actually technically reached the point where I said, I'm not going to read it again unless I buy it. But then I still got it on Hoopla again because I wanted to start reading it well before I went into the store to buy it. And yeah, it had a lot of hype, I thought, because Josh recommended it, and usually I like everything Josh likes, and I was like, yeah, this didn't quite do it for me, though. But it's still interesting, and I'm glad to have finally read it. I thought for a minute there were some references to John Constantine, and I thought it was going to explain some of the current things going on in John Constantine, but not really.
Because
it was
he just shows up.
Well, yeah. The reason why we did this, because a few weeks ago, there's a new Constantine book number one that had the Sandman referenced in it, and that's why we picked this then.
Yeah, because I thought the reference was to this, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
But close.
But yeah. Constantine might show up in other Sandman volumes.
Yeah. Quite possibly,
that,
yeah.
That references.
Yeah. This was my first time reading all of this. I know I had borrowed it from my cousin many years ago, and I couldn't get through it. I just, not my style of story. I did read all of it this time. Jared, were you able to make it through the entire book?
Yeah. If some spots, I'll be honest, I skimmed through. So I just kept losing interest in
the
spots.
The news, like, okay, I get your time about this. Or the when it's just panels of just the music play. Okay, you're playing a Sandman-related song.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I like that part the best.
For me, there's just enough of the story. It was a thick story.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of dialogue in this, too.
I have 4 pages of notes. Like, that is not normal for me.
I don't.
5. Wait, 6. I have 6 pages of notes. Cheese and rice. Yeah,
there's a lot here. I mean,
and a lot of it, like, I hate to sound petty, I don't know, but, like, I usually write down every character's name. You don't need to know half these characters.
No.
They're just kind of, they're bulking it up, and they're explaining that a lot of it had to do with, because the Sandman or Dream or, he has, like, a million names.
Many names, yeah.
Let's see, who is the main character? I suppose I should start at the beginning a little bit. Burgess. Yeah. Roderick Burgess, his intent is to capture death because he wants to not die. And, like you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his goal.
Yeah. When he casts the spell, he accidentally captures the Sandman instead. And so then people stop dreaming. They don't stop dying, but they stop dreaming. And some people actually dream more. Like there's a lot of different, everybody's affected differently by this disease.
I was still gonna ask, depends on what state of his job he was doing. Like, maybe I'm thinking like, I was just waking you up, so you're gonna stay awake forever now. Oh, I was just putting you to sleep, so you're staying asleep forever.
Okay.
That's they don't say that, but
not
that's,
really. There was interpretation. I'm like, okay, so what did happen?
That's
my
best explanation for that.
Yeah, towards the beginning, it's like, this person can never sleep again, and this person sleeps all the time. And what?
Yeah. And, Jared, you know better than either one of us, the Vigilante Sandman. Is that the actual Vigilante Sandman that they did in the JSA?
I'm not 100% sure. It's pretty much the same costume.
Okay, because they said it's Wesley Dodds. I didn't know if
Yes, that is. Oh, that okay, is. I missed the Wesley Dodds then, yeah.
Okay, so...
Yep, that's Wesley.
Which has been dead in the comics for a while, but they brought him back in something recently within DC.
Rebirth? Oh.
Well, I'm saying like as a...
Oh,
like,
as a story arc itself.
As a part of a story arc,
I haven't been reading any current JSA stuff.
Well, no, it's not JSA. It's like, it was... Was it Batman? It might have been just the plain Batman series that they brought him back in.
I want to say yes. It made me think of a carnival.
It was the Dream one. The Night Terrors.
Oh,
they resurrected him in Night Terrors.
Yes, you're that's right. It. Yep.
Because I remember like, it's Sandman. And when I talked to Mark, he's like, that's not that Sandman. It's the JSA.
Wesley,
the JSA Sandman. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Which I was like, I thought that. I was like, that's probably who this is, but I don't know.
But, yeah. And with Wesley Dodds, other DC characters show up in this.
Right.
So I thought that was a lot of fun, too.
Constantine.
Scarecrow showed up.
Scarecrow.
I didn't realize it first.
Who's the JLA member? Or JLI member? Mr. Terrific.
Yes, it's Mr. Terrific.
And Martian Manhunter.
Yep, Martian Manhunter shows up.
And the really creepy guy, D something.
Well, that's I'll find his name. The villain?
Yeah, the one villain guy.
Yeah, but I guess I don't recognize him from the main DC characters, though.
Oh, see, I thought he was a main DC character. Because I'd heard of him before.
Because he has a super villain name, like Dr. Dream or something.
Fate. No, it's
Dr. Destiny.
Dr. Destiny, that's what it is.
There we go, John D.
D for Destiny.
And Ethel D.
fault.
And he broke out of the Arkham Asylum.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know of Dr. Destiny before this.
You probably have. Did you watch the Justice League? I think your first Justice League cartoon, not Justice League Unlimited.
I watched it, but I don't remember.
Do you remember a Skeletor-looking character?
I watched it, but I don't remember any of it.
Just say, he looks like Skeletor.
Yeah, okay. He looks rough.
And he's sick and twisted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he bothered me. Yeah. Like, reading pretty much all of his stories, I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need any of this.
Well, and just overall, recapping for this book, the first half I enjoyed. Minus the whole him being captured and then showing the time pass. Like, I didn't care. It's like fluff, but whatever. It is what it is. But of the Sandman himself, you know, regaining his bag of sand.
Yep.
Regaining his crown. I really enjoyed those. It wasn't until the second half when Dr. Destiny started messing with the people at the diner. I was like, oh, I don't want to read this. Like, I feel dirty. This guy is sick and twisted and not in, like, a interesting way. Just it seems like it's over the top just for the sake of being over the top, just for shock value.
Yep.
Specifically, the one story about the girl who raped a dead body. I was like, it was too much graphic details. Like, I don't like Neil Gaiman because of that.
Right.
Like, just because you can write that down doesn't mean you should. And, like, I don't know. To me, it just felt like it was crossing a line. You're doing it just to cross the line just because you can.
Yeah, sometimes, now I don't know, I felt that too. Sometimes I think they become edgy just for the sake of being edgy.
Right.
I didn't feel like he was doing that, but that part of the story kind of, this story would not have been diminished without that.
Well, I mean, the rest of it I was okay with. I mean, okay with is loose. It didn't disturb me. Like, going through the different hours. Okay, well, even they had an orgy together. Okay, you don't show it, so that's fine. But the amount of detail when it was, oh, tell your deepest, darkest secrets. It only showed the one girl telling that secret. Like, why?
Right.
I don't need that. Like, you could have started that story and got cut to someone like, oh, you, the reader, can fill in the blanks. You don't need to hear about it. Versus they went into super graphic detail just for the one character.
Yeah.
That was over the top for me.
And it didn't add anything to the story.
Right.
That's what I mean about being edgy just for the sake of being edgy. There was no point in that.
But, I mean, and the rest of stuff, like, okay, well, then we have, you know, the pain and suffering. Like, each hour he got Dr. Destiny went crazy. So he's like, oh, I'll try this now. I'll try this now. That makes sense. That's fine. It just, again, that one specific story, I was like, why?
Yeah.
How does this move the story in any way other than to show you, oh, they're not good people also. Right. They're bad people as well. Like,
yeah,
I don't need that. It seems too much.
I felt the same way.
So that's when the story for me, I was like, okay, I wanted to stop reading. And during that part, I was like, I don't care the ending at this point. I imagine he'll get it back. I'm done. I powered through. And then the ending with his sister with death showing up, that was fine. I enjoyed that part of the story. It's just that one section. I was like, oh, this is rough. So I mean, for myself, I don't know how you guys took the rest. The rest of the story I was fine with.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. Pretty much anything with Dr. Destiny. I was like, this guy really creeps me out. I don't like him.
Which, I mean, I liked him. I liked how they had him escape and how he had that one girl give him a ride. Like, and, like, she started, like, oh, I'm your captive, but it had a quick Stockholm syndrome of, like, oh, well, here, take this jacket so you don't freeze. Like, she started taking care of him. He's like, oh, well, thank you. Blam, dead.
Yeah.
Like, that part of the story I was okay with because it shows he's still crazy. He's still a bad guy.
Yeah.
So, fine. Like I said, just that one graphic power. I was like, I don't want... If even just each volume that they have one page of that story, like, I don't want to read any more then because that one bit is so bad. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the art overall. Same the story here. Too.
That was one thing that always kept me from getting into this. I'm not a fan of that style of art.
It's very scratchy looking. And I mean, I get that it's super emo with Sandman and his sister Death, like the dark black and super bright white skin tone color montage, but it's goth just for goth's sake. It doesn't really, I don't know.
It's not for me.
It's not the worst art I've ever seen.
Oh gosh, no.
But
John Romita Jr. comes to mind on that.
Right.
I'd rather look at that than his art.
Yeah, I mean, at least this stuff, all the characters look different. Everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. At least you could tell the characters.
Yeah. My
That's why favorite, I have so many notes.
My favorite part of the story was when Sandman was dueling with the demon. Yeah. Of how they encountered, moved each other, everything.
Oh, like, Etrigan, too. Yeah.
What?
Etrigan.
Oh, yes.
Is in there. Yeah.
And how they explained, okay, well, there used to be one ruler of hell, now there's three, and, like, things, how they, things have passed, have changed since you were free roaming and everything. Like, there's a lot of stuff in here I did like.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff in here I didn't like.
He nailed Constantine.
Constantine was great.
Yeah, Constantine was Constantine and very well written. Which the story arc was good.
I don't know what the first appearance was. Like, I feel like, I mean, this is 30 years ago. That's early Constantine.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was actually the very first or not.
I don't think it was, but it could have been. I'm not really sure.
Just because I know Constantine's a newer character from as far as DC goes. Because he was originally just in Hellblazer by itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was Hellblazer first or if it spun out of this or what. I'm not sure. I can see him in his, but how Constantine was truly the character, but he was still, he loved that girl. And that seems very not Constantine to admit that he loves someone.
He was debuted in Swamp Thing and it was 1985.
85. So, I mean, that's
coming up on 40 years.
Coming up on 40. So it's still early Constantine when this came out.
Yep. So this was 90.
Well, this is the 30th anniversary, which I think we got it either last year or the year before. So let's say, just for sake of easy math, let's just say 2020 even. Okay. So 90. So it's still 5 years, somewhere between 5 to 10 years after he first debuted.
So this could have been one of those story arcs that set the tone for what John Constantine is.
Yeah.
So.
Are there any other major takeaways from this that you guys want to talk about? I know I hit my major points on it.
Yeah, you kind of hit the major points of mine. I just enjoyed all the cameos from the DC universe into this because this was originally a Vertigo story, if I remember right. Vertigo's now in with DC as a whole.
Well, and this is now DC Black Label,
too. Yeah, it's not Vertigo anymore, but I'm pretty sure Sandman was a Vertigo story arc. So seeing the crossover and stuff like that, yes, it's all owned by the same company. Yes, but
it was a different imprint.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. That kind of, whenever I was weaning away from it a little bit, then these people would pop up. Martian Manhunter brought me right back into it. So they did a really good job of placing those characters for people like me who was straying away from the story arc.
Yeah. Laura, is there anything else that stood out to you with this?
Yeah, although I forget why. I just wrote a note saying that there was an introduction from Tori Amos, who is a singer-songwriter that I enjoy, but I don't actually see it in the pages. Oh, and I accidentally logged out of the app.
It's somewhere there.
I did not read the introduction. I just went to the story and read it.
Yeah, admittedly, folks, I started reading it this morning, so I didn't have a whole lot of time to read all the extra stuff, and I'm a jerk. I typically don't care about the extra stuff. Like, if it's at the end of the story, if I'm still interested, maybe. But leading up to the beginning, like, I don't want to hear the, this is the last thing I was writing. Like, let me read it first. And then I may go back and read it.
Yeah.
Just so I have context. But even then, I usually don't have enough time. I just go to the next thing anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the before things are usually talking about how tough it was to write and all the people they're thanking for helping them through the journey and stuff like that. So it's...
Right.
Yeah, it's not usually all that useful, but I don't know. I like to be a completionist.
Yeah.
And then I have regrets later.
That's fair. So we'll move on to our rating system, 1 being off of 5 being great. Laura, what would you rate this?
I think I might even go 2. I think I'm going to be harsh on it because I don't feel the need to ever read it again.
Fair.
And it didn't have Spider-Man in it.
Yeah. Jared?
I'm going to go 2 also. I kind of felt the same thing. I'll probably never read it again, and this doesn't really... I don't have any incentive or want to go pick up Volume 2.
Fair.
So I'm done with it.
So I want to give it 2 different ratings. Myself, I'm going to give it a 2 also, because it's just not my style. I don't care for it.
Right, yep.
But if you are into super... what's the right word I want to use?
I think people that would be into this book would rate it a 4 at the least.
If you're
into this style and everything.
If you're a, for lack of a better word, a hipster about comics, I feel like this would be at least a 3. Where it's like, oh, probably. You're edgy. You have to read The Dark and Gritty and because like blah, blah, blah. Like, oh, it has over.
Yeah.
For the, if you like that sort of thing, if you like the, if you like to hate things, if you really love Watchmen, you might enjoy
this. Yeah, you might enjoy this if you really like the Watchmen. I'd agree with that wholeheartedly.
It is very, it's a very select audience, I think, that this is for.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read other Neil Gaiman stuff. I read the Marvel 1602, and I enjoyed that one really well. Not just because it's Marvel, but because it was, it wasn't dark and gritty just for the sake of dark and gritty.
This definitely felt that.
If you're a fan of Spawn, I bet you love this.
Oh, yeah. Like, 100%.
This definitely seems like the exact same lane of, like, here you go.
Yep.
It is what it is. I'm not a huge fan of Spawn either, so...
Yep, same here.
It's just not for me. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be. It's just from my style of reading and stuff.
But I'm glad I read it. You know, it's one of those things that I'm branching out on a bunch of my reading and stuff like that. And I'm enjoying doing it, even though this book wasn't for me. I still enjoyed it. And I still respected what it is.
And,
you know, it is a...
And honestly, if it was more of just Sandman himself, I probably would have liked it.
I thought so, too.
And that part of that makes me wonder, okay, would I like Volume 2 or Volume 3? Because I've been told... I mean, I talked to Josh before where he's like, yeah, the first couple volumes are rough, but then they get really good. Well, if it actually follows him doing stuff, then I can see that being good.
Right, because the first quarter of this story, I think, I mean, he was trapped in the glass bottle and stuff like that, or whatever.
Once he got free, and it was actually about him.
It was good once, like, yeah. Once he escaped, and once the story was about him, it did get good.
Even the ending where he's like, okay, well, you know, it was fun to, you know, go on a quest to actually do something. Now what? And it's just like, dude. Find your passion. Find something that excites you. Like, you're eternal. You need to do something for the rest of the time. Otherwise, you'll be super depressed and you're a bummer to hang out with. And that's coming from death. So, yeah, it ended with a possibility. Oh, well, if he does more stuff, that could be really good. That's why I want to read the rest, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like, I don't know if I will. But the rest, I could see if you actually give me story about the Sandman himself doing things, like, that could be fun. But so much of the story was not about him. It was just, he was the driving force between all these different sub-stories.
Yeah, maybe we should give volumes 2, 3, whatever, another chance to.
Maybe.
You know.
Are they on Hoopla?
I think they are.
Maybe we'll give them a shot.
That's just how I felt. Like,
yeah. But based off of this story alone, I don't have any desire to go catch it.
It wasn't till the end where... like, oh, he has the new light from death. Like, and I love the play that death did, like, with the one kid. Like, oh, don't worry, I'll see you soon. And he's like, oh, this hot chick, you know, she's going to see me soon. I didn't know I'd see you that soon. Because you're dead. Oh, what? Like, I definitely saw that one coming. She's like, don't worry, I'll see you soon. I was like, we're going to see him die in this book. Not like in the scale of infinite time, it'll be soon, and maybe 80 years. No, this is going to be like a couple pages soon. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I'd be curious to see what are some of the other Pantheon that are living eternally. Like, the Cain and Abel story was a little weird, but it was just enough. They're like, okay, it didn't overstay its welcome, thankfully.
Right, yep.
So it's like, well, that could be good.
Yeah, I did like Cain and Abel because at one point, I forget which one died, but then they're like, he got better. Oh, here we go. Abel had been dead for a couple of hours now, but he was starting to feel better.
Yeah. And despite the pain of still healing, he liked it better than the pain of being dead. I like that little line too. Like, oh, being dead was worse than the pain of actually being tormented and everything. So yeah, I'm curious about, okay, what are the other, like, that's Cain and Abel. Are there other, like, David and Goliath that we're going to see in that universe, or anything other than just death and dreams? Like,
mm-hmm. They mentioned the Endless are also Destiny and Desire.
So
there are other characters.
Right. Sorry. No, that's okay. Pain and Pleasure were the demons in hell also. Did the bidding as well. Like,
the twins.
So there is some cool potential.
Right.
Yeah, it may be true. Like, volumes 1, 2, 3 are rough, but then it gets really good. If it follows Sandman and the rest of the Pantheon, that could be really good.
If John Constantine comes back and does more interactions with Sandman, that could be fun. Right. Because I did like that.
So, yeah, I want to read it more. But judging by this volume by itself, I see the potential. I really see the potential. But I haven't read the rest of them, so I can't say.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I give it a 2 for myself, a 3 for the Spawn fanatics, the if you like the dark and gritty stuff, the weird art stuff. If you don't have a weak stomach for super gross stuff, it would be good for you. But that's just my opinion on it.
Yep, I agree.
So, again, what are we reading in 2 weeks?
Fantastic Four Life Stories.
There you go. So let's move on to the final section of the week, final segment of the podcast that I forgot to remind Jared of before the episode. That is Heroes of the Week, comic or otherwise. Jared, would you like to go first?
Nope.
I'll go first. I will say, Jared, you're my hero of the week because we had a customer come in the store yesterday that was in crisis. I'm not going to give away too much, but I was like, I don't know how to help, but I know some that will know. And I called you and you told me where to send the person to get, seek help. So thank you for that. And thank you for your employment services and what they do.
Thank you.
Cause yeah, that definitely was like,
yeah, that's, it's a scary situation when someone's in crisis.
Well, Mark was in a meeting and he came back. I was like, man, I'm not trained for this, but luckily I know who to call. He's like, no, that's the right thing to do.
Yep, you did. Perfect.
So I appreciate the help and hopefully I don't hear any more else of what happens with that. I just hope that it gets resolved and done, but I do appreciate the help for that.
Yeah.
Good job, Jared.
So Laura, would you like to buy Jared more time and.
Sure. Although I am cheating a little bit. I'm pretty sure that I've picked this person as my hero before, but rereading about Captives made me remember how much I enjoy Liz Allen. She's been a Spider-Man character for, like, ever. Like, I'm pretty sure she's at least mentioned in one of the first couple issues, because she went to high school with Peter. And in that go-down swinging story arc, at one point, her brother, who is also the Molten Man, because everyone in comics is related to somebody with powers of some sort. But she makes the comment that her ex-husband is working for her. She owns this multi-billion dollar Alchemex company. Her ex-boyfriend from high school, she's kind of bossing him around, Flash Thompson, and having him take care of business. I forget what else she did, but then... yeah, she's just, like, riding high on life and talking about how I'm really enjoying this being a boss lady stuff. And it was funny, too, at one point in the story, her sons, stepsons, were kidnapped. And she pulls out her phone, and Harry's like, who are you going to call? And she's like, I have him chipped. Like, why wouldn't I do that? I'm in a position, like, because of you and your dad, that... My child could be kidnapped at any point. So he's chipped so I can find him very quickly. And I thought that was hilarious, too. So, yeah, boss lady Liz Allen will be my hero again.
All right. Jared, we watched as much time as we could.
I'm going to go with Dr. Sheik over at the Gastro Health place in Shawnee. They treated me very well when I went in, and they really know what they're doing. So yes,
they treat you so well, you're going back to...
Yep, I'm going back again.
To hopefully be done, then.
Yep,
hopefully.
For seconds.
Yeah.
So
yeah. With that, thank you everybody for listening. We should be back in 2 weeks, barring any complications. Knock on wood. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, we'll see you all next time.
Yep, take care.
It's just fun.